Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. There's a guy walking in front of me, and he's doing about 3 miles an hour. Hey, young man, while you are walking to class, where are you going right now?
Going to Spanish.
Going to Spanish. Could I have a conversation with you in English on the radio while you're walking?
Sure.
Cool. Do you know any Spanish yet?
Yeah, I do. Quite a bit.
All right. Tell me, how do you say freakishly skinny?
Demasiado delgado.
Well done. Delgado?
Yeah.
What's delgado?
Thin, skinny.
Thin, skinny. All right. So I'd be a delgado, right?
Yeah.
And you'd be a...
I don't know.
You'd be a unit. That's the word. That's an Australian word. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, guys like you who are kind of built.
Yeah.
You're a unit. That's what they call you. All right. So my unit friend, where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, you're from the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Are you a Bible Belter?
Not really.
I'm looking for a Bible Belt kind of guy. Do you ever go to church?
Yeah.
What kind of church you go to?
Episcopalian.
Terrific. And as an Episcopalian, I want to ask you kind of a, it maybe sounds like a political question, but really it's a moral issue. Where are you at on the whole universal health care concept? Should government be providing health care to everybody in this country?
Sure, if they can find a way to foot the bill that doesn't increase taxes, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, so short of that, you're for it.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think the concept of the safety net in and of itself is a good idea, which is what we already have. I think it's overburdened with a lot of people who don't pay taxes in general, non-citizens and the like. But, you know, it's a good concept. I don't know if it needs to be expanded to...
Well, now I want to ask you a question now. As an Episcopalian,
yeah.
What informs you from the Bible, which is, I presume, is your holy book,
right.
What informs you of those sentiments that you just expressed to me?
I don't think it's anything from the Bible. I think it's just my view on how government should work.
Okay, and so where did that information come from? What convinced you that's the way it should go?
I'm not sure. Probably just growing up, family I was growing up in, they kind of let me figure stuff out on my own, and that's what I guess I've come to.
You listen to a lot of Rush Limbaugh, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
No?
No, I would love to see him run over by a bus, but...
Really?
Know.
How come?
Well,
that's not very Episcopalian of you.
Well, you know, I believe the masses are uninformed, and to have someone like him, you know, leading the charge.
No, I have to tell you, I thought you just told me that you never listened to him.
I don't.
You should be run over by a bus.
I do. I've heard what he says. His quotes show up everywhere, and I mean, he's got like, what, a $500 million contract to do what he does?
He makes a lot of dough.
Yeah, he does. So.
Yeah. All right, now tell me, as an Episcopalian, it sounds like you're sort of Episcopalian, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, more or less. I think I kind of tend to keep it separate from a lot of things just because it makes life easier.
In what regard?
I know, just, I think that, you know, there's, you know, living by what you believe, especially religiously, that's one way to do it. I don't necessarily choose to do that. I think you can have some separation from, you know, your day-to-day life and then, you know, what you do outside of, you know, your normal interactions, you know, at school, work, what have you. So
okay, so let me try to write a parable. Do you know what that is? Kind of a story to bring about a point.
Right. Right?
If I told you that I'm a member of PETA,
mm-hmm.
right, and I go to a PETA meeting on occasion,
right,
probably at about Christmas and Easter, go to a PETA meeting, but then during the day, I'm busy strangling cats.
Mm.
What would you think about me?
I would think you were a very confused individual.
Okay. Is my parable accurate?
In what regard?
You just said you've got religious beliefs, but they don't inform the rest of your day, or you keep them kind of separate. You're not going to hurt me, are you? Because you're a unit, and I'm a delgado.
No,
remember.
It's not... I don't think it's entirely accurate. I mean, you could, you know, believe that. I mean, obviously, if you look through history, you can find several examples of people who, you know, believed one set of things, then they went off and did a totally different, you know...
Those people are called hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah, generally. I mean, but
so is it that you maybe just don't believe the Episcopalian stuff very much, and it really doesn't make its way into your life? Because otherwise, you would be a hypocrite.
Not necessarily. I think if I look over my life and, you know, compare and contrast, it would probably be pretty similar, but it wouldn't be because of what I believed.
So have you lived by the standards of the Bible?
Not always.
At all?
But not everyone does.
Oh, I agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So, for instance, have you, I think lying is an anti-biblical principle. How many lies have you told in your life?
Not too many. I frown upon lying in general.
Yeah, I hate lying too, but you've done it, right?
Yeah. Okay,
so you've failed on that standard.
Sure.
Okay. How many times, I'll give you a biblical quote. You ready?
Yeah.
Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, don't commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever been guilty of that?
Sure. I mean, but I haven't been married. You know, I haven't been...
Yeah, that's the point, though. You don't have to be.
Okay.
Look, lust, guilty.
Okay. Well, then sure. I think a lot of guys are.
Yeah, I would guess every guy is, frankly.
Right.
You know, maybe even worse looking at pornography or even fornicating.
Right.
Would be even magnified even worse, but I want to ask you those personal questions.
Right.
All right. What about stealing? Ever stolen anything, even small, from your parents?
No.
Nothing?
Nope.
Okay, downloading music?
Nope.
All right. Giving your employer everything that you should give?
Yes.
Right? Okay, so you haven't stolen.
No.
But you've lied.
Yeah.
And you've lusted, which is adultery of the heart. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yeah, probably in extreme moments of anger. Sure I have.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah, no.
And if you've been really angry, Jesus said that if you're angry with somebody without cause, you're in danger of judgment because you're a murderer at heart. You don't have to commit the act. Think it guilty.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever been angry at someone without cause. I try to let a lot of stuff go.
Yeah, happened.
Yeah.
Driving on the roads, especially here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I really don't get road rage. I learned to get over that quickly.
Yeah, sounds like you had it in the past, maybe.
No, I mean it's just the way it is. You adapt to your surroundings, and you know it's not for certain people. Certain people, certain situations, find themselves challenged in different ways.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So let's try to summarize our little situation here.
Okay.
You die.
Mm-hmm.
God judges you. He opens up the books on your life, every thought, every word, every deed, everything that you failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he's going to bang his gavel and say innocent or guilty?
Couldn't tell you.
Well,
honestly, couldn't tell you.
Well, you just confessed to me that you've broken the laws.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guilty to me.
Well, depends on, there's the whole concept of forgiveness. You know, I mean, I don't think I've ever tried to put myself above any of those laws ever intentionally, and if I do, you know, I've regretted it, you know, so it's...
Well, that's good. I mean, a criminal should regret his crimes.
Right.
But he's still guilty.
Right, he's still guilty.
No matter how many tears he sheds,
he's
still guilty.
But is it one strike, you're out?
Well, actually, according to the Bible, it is. All liars will have their part in a lake of fire. You break one law, you're guilty of breaking all of them.
True.
Because it demonstrates that you're a lawbreaker. You're against the law, and the law is God.
Right, then
so you'd be guilty.
Per the literal interpretation of all parts of the Bible, you know, there's a lot of stuff that would be seemingly contradictory, especially New Testament versus Old, and depending on how, you know, a specific church, you know, determines that they should interpret.
I'm going to quote a verse for you.
Okay.
And you tell me what this means, right? So you're just going to have to trust I'm doing this accurately, okay?
Okay.
God, the just judge of all the world, will judge all people according to what they have done. And he will pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds, and lives for himself. There will be trouble and calamity on that day. Can you give me an interpretation of that?
I think that would probably tend to say that, you know, I guess at the final judgment, whether it be the final judgment or the final judgment of said person, that, you know, according to how that person has lived, God will judge accordingly.
And
by his standards.
Pour out his wrath on anybody who's broken the law.
Right.
And you've broken the law.
And failed to repent.
And failed to repent, exactly. So you'd be in God's scope then, right?
I think I've repented for what I've done. If I've ever done something to break any one of the commandments.
What does it mean to repent?
I think to repent means to not just be truly sorry for, but to make corrective action and not do.
I agree with you.
Again.
There's one other thing though about being forgiven by God. Mm-hmm. He uses two words: repentance and faith.
Right.
You need to do that thing you just described in repentance. Just say, I'm absolutely guilty.
Right.
I mean, there's no question about it. I'm going to get ground to powder. I'm in big trouble. But
right.
Jesus died for my sins. He shed his blood that I could be forgiven. He took the punishment I deserved. And you trust that it's true and it actually happened.
Yeah.
And if you repent and put your trust in him, then your sins can be forgiven based on
That's
what
right.
Jesus did, but not because you're really sorry or you've tried to do some good things.
Right.
Being saved by grace through faith in Jesus.
I agree with that, yeah.
Now, have you done that?
I believe so.
So if I got all your pals together and I said, hey, what's the most important thing in his life? What does he love more than anything else? What would they say?
You know, I don't know. Because a lot of my friends, you know, they aren't part of my faith, so
yeah.
I wouldn't, they wouldn't see me in that setting.
I'm not your judge.
Right.
Okay? So as you're walking to Spanish class, mm-hmm. whether it's in Spanish or English, be thinking, wow, is God the primary affection of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're living in a way that demonstrates he's not, then maybe you haven't repented and put your trust in Jesus. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Hey, young man, thank you for not hurting the skinny guy.
No problem.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for chatting with me. I appreciate it very much. All right, see you. That was a unit, and this is Wretched Radio.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself, but the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where the Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women, like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches, just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for the Better Way with Libby Glossin. Real truth, real wisdom, like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Important dates in Christian history. 1910 to 1915. The Fundamentals are published and demonstrate the great divide in American Christianity, known as the Modernist Fundamentalist Controversy. fundamentalists began to set themselves apart from society as a witness for Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are here at Georgia Tech. I wonder, hey, do you know what they're building back there? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, the new undergraduate, place for to help out undergrads, I guess.
So it has something to do with undergrads,
yeah,
that's what you're saying.
It's early now.
You're an undergrad, aren't you?
I am, I'm a freshman.
Oh, you're a freshman. Have you been getting, I'll walk with you and talk on the radio.
Right.
Is that cool?
Yeah, it's cool.
Where are you from, dude?
Virginia.
Virginia, it's lovely there.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Aerospace.
You're going to be a rocket scientist.
Hopefully.
You're a real scientific kind of guy, I'm guessing. Numbers sort of deal, right?
Right, math.
Mm-hmm. But here you grew up in the Bible Belt, right?
Virginia's not much of a Bible Belt compared to the South. It's not a big religious place.
Okay, so you're not a religious guy.
I'm not as religious as other people, but I'm also not as non-religious as other people.
Okay, then in your own terms, what are you?
What am I? I mean, Christian,
You're a kind of Christian.
I mean,
not an on-fire Christian.
I wasn't a church, you know, twice a week kind of person. I was a church, you know, once a month, and my churches weren't the, like, most serious of types, you know. They were more the laid-back casual.
Cool music, great youth programs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, hip youth pastor.
Yeah.
All right, so if I had to describe your Christianity, you're not hot, but you're not cold, you're lukewarm.
I'm lukewarm, that's a good way to put it.
Do you know what the Bible says about lukewarm Christians?
It's probably not good.
I do.
What does it say?
It says,
tell me.
Yeah, no, I can. It's Revelation chapter 3, last book in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Says that lukewarmness, those Christians who are lukewarm, you know, you ever drink lukewarm stuff?
Yeah, it's all right.
Have a lukewarm watermelon? It's not all right. And, you know, you want it, hot or cold.
No, lukewarm chocolate. It's hot chocolate, right?
Right. There you go.
You want to eat cold chocolate?
Or cold chocolate.
Yeah, well, there's a candy bar for that.
Okay. Jesus will spew them out of his mouth on Judgment Day. Zoink, Scoob. There's a thought for you. Are you sure you're lukewarm?
I'm pretty sure I'm lukewarm.
So
do you believe everything in the Bible?
No.
Oh, sure.
Everything.
Don't
no
you?
Matter what. Everything. Why do you believe everything in the Bible?
Oh, because, well, for a lot of reasons. It's it answers all the questions of life. It's consistent. It always makes sense. And it is the only thing that has helped me with my horrible conscience.
But why? You never told me why in the first place to believe in the Bible. Did someone give you this and tell you, hey, read this, it's true? Or did you just decide for yourself it's all true?
Very good question. All right, here's the situation. When I was a kid, I had a horrible fear of dying.
Mm-hmm.
You ever have that fear?
Occasionally, actually. I used to wake up.
With the shakes?
Yeah, thinking I would die the next day.
And I just knew that if I knew there was a God. Just knew it. That's it.
Why, though? I mean, that's not a good answer. You can't just, because there's no way to argue with that. You can't just be like, oh no, one guy came
okay,
and told me.
Okay, all right,
me,
well, hold on. Okay, you're one, you're a logic guy. Terrific. All right, here's the logic behind it. All right? Because I think you know it too, which is why you were scared to die. I think it's...
I didn't really think of religion when I was thinking about scared to die.
Perhaps not, but why were you scared of dying?
Because I realized, you know, what's the point of life then?
Well, and what's going to happen to me when I die? Okay.
Not really that.
Okay, let me try to make my point by going into your brain for a second, all right?
Okay.
Into your conscience. The same thing that was troubling me when I was a kid. I was a bad kid, okay? And I just knew if there was a God, and I had a strong sense there was... And I think the creation proves that there's a creator. I think we see that supported, but universally, every society has some form of religion because there's something inside that says, yeah, there's a God.
Wait, hold on one sec. You're getting on topic how every society has some form of religion.
Right.
Why is your religion right, and why is every other society else's religion wrong?
Well, that's your original question, so we're still on track here.
Yeah, why, right? But why you didn't answer that question?
I'm trying. Okay, let me answer the question by asking you some questions.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to do a Bill Clinton on you. All right? When I was a kid, I was scared.
Okay.
Right? Because I knew that I'd done wrong, and I knew that if God judged me, big trouble for me. All right?
Okay.
And I suspect that's the same thing that you've thought, or should think, and I'm going to try to help that happen right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to be trying to answer your big question. I'm not avoiding it. All right? Young man, as you've been walking on this campus today, lots of girls here. Yes?
Comparatively, no, but yes, there's girls here.
Oh, there's plenty, right?
Yeah.
And have you ever looked at any of those girls and had thoughts that were, well, inappropriate for a gentleman?
Actually not. I would be honest with you, I actually haven't. I do have a girlfriend back home.
Okay. Do you ever lust for her?
Yes.
Okay. So you've lusted, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's against the Bible.
That's against the Bible.
Exactly.
It's like adultery of the heart.
Right.
Uh-oh.
So,
Uh-oh, you've
so
done
you're
a
saying
bad
everybody,
thing.
Every single guy, you know, who has these kind of thoughts is going against the Bible, yes?
Yes.
And you said you cannot go against the Bible.
That's right.
That's considered a lukewarm Christian.
So no, it's considered a sinner.
Okay, it's considered a sinner. But also, since he's not following everything in the Bible, like you said earlier, it's a lukewarm Christian. And lukewarm Christians are going to be kicked out of heaven and go to hell. So every guy who is lustful for a girl will go to hell.
Well, let me try to dismantle that, all right? I haven't forgotten your question either, by the way. All right? Lukewarm Christians... Okay. I have to confess to you, I kind of mangled that Bible verse to make a point.
Okay.
I twisted scripture a little bit. But Jesus' point is still the same. If you don't act like you love God more than anything else, it means you're not a Christian.
Okay.
It means you're a false convert.
So
you're
saying there's
hypocrite.
Much as thing as a lukewarm Christian.
That's right. Okay. You're not a Christian at all. Okay. You maybe have deceived yourself or you've convinced yourself because it makes your conscience feel a little bit better.
Okay.
But you've really created an idol in your heart
so
and in your mind.
They're all or nothing.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said.
Okay.
You pick up your cross, you follow him.
So, I mean, you know, I told you earlier I'm aerospace, so I look up.
Yeah.
Where's space in the Bible? Where's Pluto? Where's Mars?
The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they speak without saying a word. God put this amazing space out there to scream to you, I made it.
So, Earth is the center of everything, right? Is that what you're saying? So, he made Earth, and then everything else, the heavens?
Is it the center of it? Well, I mean, it depends on if you're talking teleology or if you're talking cosmologically. God's the center of everything. Where the earth fits in it, irrelevant.
Right, so
that's not the point.
We have earth and everything else in heaven, right?
Sure.
Okay, so, you know, it was pretty much proved that the universe is infinitely growing. Einstein proved that. The universe is infinite. I'm sure you know what infinite means. It goes on forever.
Yeah.
So the universe is infinitely growing. There's possibility of other life on other planets. So how do you explain that life? Since that life is considered part of the heavens because it's Earth and everything else is the heavens, that means they're born in the heavens already. So you're saying if we find another human on a far, far away solar system, that human is in heaven already?
No.
Why not? You said it's Earth and everything else
is
heaven.
All right. Anyway. We'll do this quick, and I want to get back to your conscience. The heavens are... up there, okay? All that stuff out there that we see. There's
right.
the stuff that we breathe. There's the stuff above it. And way out there, where God's dwelling is right now, I can't tell you where it is up there.
Okay.
Okay? But it's not this whole place, all right? Back to heaven for a second, all right? So you've lusted, right? And maybe worse.
Right.
Maybe actually committed the act of fornication. Uh-huh. Maybe looked at pornography, a filthy thing to do.
Maybe.
God knows because he sees behind closed doors.
Okay.
He sees in a darkened room what's going on. And if you have broken that, you're an adulterer at heart, you're a fornicator, you are a pornographer,
sinner.
You're a sinner.
Right.
Right?
I'm going to hell, unless I repent for my sins.
That's right.
How do you know stuff about Christianity?
Well done. All right. And you know what it means to repent?
Yeah, to pretty much say I'm sorry, and I will try not to do it again.
Yeah, and you also put your trust in Jesus, your Savior, the God-man who died to satisfy the wrath of God.
You're going away from the question.
No, here's why. No,
okay.
No, here's the original question. Why Christianity, all right?
Yeah, why?
All right.
Okay, that's one of them.
I knew that if I died and I was judged for my thought life, for my deeds, for my mouth, for my heart, that God should send me to hell. I knew it. So I took a look at all the religions that were out there.
Okay.
And the only religion that could calm my conscience that was unique and different was Christianity. And here's why. Every other religion, every single religion says that you've got to do good things to get to heaven. Every single one. Or to be reincarnated.
Right.
Or to go to paradise with some virgins. You got to do certain things. Christianity says something radically different. Christianity says all you've done are bad things. All you've done is sinned. You've lied. You've stolen. You've taken my name in vain. You dishonored your parents. You dishonored authority. You're an adulterer at heart. I agreed.
Right.
And Christianity is the only religion that says you're not good, but because Jesus is good, the wrath of God can be satisfied by his perfect sacrifice and perfect life, so that if I'll repent and put my trust in him, I can go to heaven based on his merits, not mine.
Okay,
and it's the only thing that made me go, oh, that's such good news.
Right, okay, but let's look back to, like, say, 3,000 years ago. There's no Christianity, am I right? It was, you had Greek gods, you had Roman gods, right?
Okay, sure.
So the way they came up with the religion is they saw lightning. And they're like, oh, lightning, I can't explain that. That's God doing it.
Okay.
Okay? They saw an earthquake. I can't explain that. It's God doing that.
Right.
So wait, now science has disproved that, am I right? Okay, so now there's a new God. There's Jesus. There's the Christianity God. And, you know, they're saying now God created the earth, God created the heavens. But now it's just a matter of time before science disproves that too. Why do you think Christianity is any different from the other religions that have been disproven?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because those other religions weren't disproven by science. They dwindled because people discovered they weren't true. Okay? The God of the Bible says that he controls the weather and the lightning. And I got to tell you, I watch the weather forecast enough to know that we don't have a handle on it.
Right.
But something does. There must be an uncaused causer. There must be an unmoved mover.
Right. Earthquakes. Let's look at earthquakes. We can prove earthquakes.
Account for the stuff, my scientific friend. Where did it all come from?
There's theories of evolution.
You got a theory.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Science starts with theories and goes into law.
Yeah.
Science starts into theories.
But evolution and science can't answer where all the stuff came from, can they?
No, I'm so you are believing
in blind faith?
No, I'm not believing. I haven't said what I believe in. I have not said what I believed in yet.
Well, I think it's kind of obvious.
No.
Dude, hold on. Got to take a break. We'll keep chatting, all right?
All right, I'm going to my dorm right now.
Well, hold on, so I'll walk you that far.
Okay.
All right? Ay, ay, ay. I wonder why I'm sweating. Is it the walking or the talking? It's Wretched Radio.